Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Happy Monday, everybody, and I hope we all have had a blessed weekend. Because in Atlanta, Georgia, we did the Dogwood Festival, and that was on down.
Yes, ma'am.
I got you on the air.
Awesome. We're doing great.
Just because I want to hear again,
how are you doing, Technisha?
I'm wonderful. I'm blessed. And I will have to say it's an honor to just have you guys on the show because, see, I'm learning. This is, well, to me it's a new experience because I did this when I was in college, but that was 2 years ago. But it's different when you're on your own. You have no strings behind you making you do this. So now I'm doing my own radio show. So I feel really honored to have experienced people who've been podcasting for some time on my show, who's been out there, who's spreading the word, motivating others. But this is what I would love to know, because I mostly always try to do my research on all my guests all the time. And I want to know how you two end up meeting, and when you met, was it just like a click?
Well, I was performing at festivals around the country. I do Renaissance festivals, comedy shows there. And Charles had been podcasting since, I don't know, the dawn of time. And he came and interviewed my troupe and found out that I enjoyed motivational stuff, and he enjoyed that as well. He suggested podcasting to me, and actually a book by Gary Vaynerchuk about putting your brand online. And one thing led to another, and he helped me start my own podcast, and then told me I should start doing it live, and we started working together in that way. And that kind of just – everything bloomed and blew up from there. The live experience was the way to go for us. We just loved it.
Yeah.
See, that's the spirit. And I love your mission statement, help others be awesome. What motivates you to help others be awesome?
Well, you know, we were talking about this last night, actually. We realized that we're not doing anything that we do to – just out of the – goodness of our hearts. We're not out to change the world. We're really out to help ourselves. And in that sense, I mean, we both came from checkered backgrounds. We both have had damage in our lives. We both make mistakes and learn from them. So when we help others be awesome, we're really investing in their life and helping them out. And by doing that, we're helping ourselves out. So everything we teach, everything we show is from personal perspective. It's about being transparent. And the topics of the day always come up by what we need to learn and what we need to deal with. It's crazy that way, because we're playing a show or a book or a speech out, sometimes even months in advance. Well, no, this would be a good time to talk about that. And sure enough, about the time it comes to talk about it, we're actually going through it.
Yeah.
And going, well, I've got this story that happened yesterday that applies to this. And That's what motivates us to help others, is because we need help too.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I think those are the best shows, when you come real and you're not putting on an act for anyone. You're just being yourself. That's how I like to be. I am me, and that's the only person I can be. I can't be no one else by the end of the day. Even so, it's going to be fake. So that's what I love,
right.
And I love the fact that you said that you came from damaged backgrounds, but you didn't let that stop you, because a lot of people make excuses. Oh, my mother did this, my dad did that. Okay, boo-hoo, move on. We're trying to hear those violins. Look, we're trying to hear those same violins. We cannot keep doing that. And I know, right. I know a lot of, I mean, I had bad history with my mom, but that was just growing up. But during the time that she was raising me, I didn't have a problem. It was, most people would call me spoiled. But as I got older, then I started saying things for what it really was. And but I don't sit around and say, oh, mom, you're the cause of me not making it. No. It's, you can't keep doing that. So I do love that.
Well, you know, about a lot of people let their past define them. They let
yeah.
what other messages that other people put in them define them. It sounds like you decided not to do that. And I will say I did do that for a long time, and now I have chosen differently. My partner's over here giving me the naughty finger. So what advice would you give, sir?
No, well, I think that we all go through experiences, and it's going to help shape you. It's going to help mold you. The trick is don't be a victim of this. I mean, you look at any stand-up comedian, I can guarantee you most of them did not have a great childhood. Great childhood does not create a good stand-up comedian. You know, you're going to go through some character-building stuff. Some of the stuff's going to be, you know, maybe you're the nerd in high school and you got beat up all the time by the bullies or picked on. Or maybe you had some horrific experiences. I mean,
yeah.
We've all gone through some things that are going to help shape us and mold us. And some of them are not very, very nice. The trick is you are responsible for your life and what's going on. It's not your parents' fault anymore. It's not mommy and daddy anymore. It's not the government.
No.
It's not the man keeping you down. It's not the, you know, socioeconomic situations that are going on. You're responsible, and you can take those very same things that have crippled you in the past and use them to move you forward. Plenty of people have done that. Plenty of people in worse off situations than me, you, your listeners, they've gone through horrific things, and yet they've used those things to help build them up as people that they can be proud of and that you look up to as almost mentors or somebody that, you know, is going to help lead you forward.
Exactly, and you're right. You just have to – you got to look in your rearview mirror and focus on a new road in front of you, because all that past and that negativity will just hold you back. And like you said, Paul, you did almost let it hold you, but you didn't let it hold you long. Now, why was that? Is that the part when you start just getting into believing God, knowing that He has your back?
Yeah. So what got you to do a show? What gets you? Why do you want to help people?
I do. I like to be motivational. I felt that I went through a struggle, which I am still going through. But you know, I just don't tell a lot of people what I'm going through, because I don't know how you probably would take me or look at me funny, because I'm still the same technician by the end of the day, but I think about it like, will they still think of me that way if I just go all the way with you? So I figure that if I have this show, it will inspire others to just keep going, because somewhere out there, somebody needs to be uplifted. We have people actually killing themselves because people are criticizing them on the internet, or they're going through too much trauma, and there's no one there to help them. So I just want to be the one to actually help you, to let you know that it's not over yet. It's still a promising life and a future for you. You can make it.
Good. That's exactly right.
Guys, what is actually your background, your qualification?
Yeah, that's a big
cool on hard knocks, baby.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start. I grew up. I grew up the son of a Southern Baptist preacher, and I gotta tell you know, you think you know church, but unless you live in the church as an employee type of deal, you don't know church. And
yeah.
I saw a whole different side to everything when I was growing up in the church, and seeing how people reacted and seeing how they acted, and had some not good things happen to me. I mean, I don't want to indicate that anything ugly happened, but there were politics, and our family was affected, so that was about the extent of it. And, you know, grew up angry, grew up bitter, and it's held to a higher standard than others, and I just rebelled and fought against it. But as I became who I am, I realized those experiences shaped me in a way that let me see the whole world. I could see the dark side of the positive. I could see not just, hey, I want to see shiny things and be happy all the time. I could see, well, it takes work. It takes truth. You know, you have to be able to be honest with yourself. And if you can't do that, you can't be honest with anybody. And then I got latched on the media. When podcasting came around about 10 years ago, it just really rang my bell, and I've learned everything I can about it in audio and engineering and producing. And that's where I go. I knew this would be the medium for me to tell people what I can tell them, because I felt like the voice was the best way to do it. Your morning came up a little bit differently.
Yeah, I've spent the last 27 years traveling the country performing and writing comedy shows at different festivals. And that was, you know, my entertainment aspect. I grew up in the church, as Charles did, though I was not the son of a Baptist preacher. I went on to study different forms of energy work. I've gone to Thailand and studied Universal Healing Tao. A lot of what, as far as motivational, a lot of what I, you know, what I learned is basically I do a lot of reading. And honestly, I don't have much time anymore, so I do a lot of listening. I listen to my books on audio. And it's through life experience. What we try to do at Success Freaks is keep ourselves very, very transparent. We share the problems that we're going through so that we can help create the possibility for other people. You know, you see us as how we're achieving our successes. You see, you know, the hurdles that we're jumping. You also see us stumbling and falling. You know, we're going to admit our shortcomings so that you see that, yes, people who are successful, even motivational teachers, also have these same shortcomings. We're human like you're human. You know, we just did our last month, the theme for the podcast was being human, and we talked about different things and why you should embrace some of your failures, because your failures help grow who you are. Your failures are feedback. They're going to help point out the things that you need to work on. So they're kind of, we consider them our best friends, because without your failures, you're not going to have any successes. You're not going to have any honest successes. That's for sure. Because if you have everything handed to you, once you run into some trouble, you're not going to know how to deal with it. You're not going to know what to do in the first place. These things you should have learned early on when you should have been blessed by failure. And I'm going to say that again, blessed by failure. That's how it teaches you how to do those things early on. And secondly, it also teaches you how to deal with failure. So if you have, you know, your big corporation on the line, or if you have some big part you're doing or something that's very important, and you've never experienced failure, it's going to cripple you emotionally. You won't know what to do. You're going to either fight it or you're going to run away. You have no other choices. So you want to be blessed by failure early. So what we try to do is share that we are very much blessed by failure, and yet we are success freaks because we keep moving forward. We don't let that keep us down. We get up again, brush off, put on Band-Aids on the bruises, start moving forward again.
Rub a little dirt on it.
Rub some dirt on it.
Put that dirt on it. What she said in that commercial, put a banana peel on a cut that won't heal.
You know, I'm kidding now. People are going to try that. Does that really work?
I have no idea, but I might try it. But you are so right, though. You got to go through failure in order to know what success is like. And anybody who said they haven't been through it, they're telling a bold-faced lie, because there's no way you just have been successful and you never had any failure. But I just feel like I was reading up on something and it said we have all certainly been through hurdles in life. Satan's one desire is to break us, and Christians' troubles and trials are always coming our way. It seems that sometimes the more we follow God's plan for our life, the harder things get. And yet God is the God of circumstances, too. No matter how bleak this seems, He is in control. So,
what we see as failures, what we see as hard times, are making us tougher. I mean, I've got small kids, and my youngest daughter is learning to walk. As anybody who's had kids or at least seen kids knows, as they're learning to walk, they fall a lot. It can be upsetting, frustrating, painful. But you can't just carry them around all the time. You have to put them through the stress of learning to walk. You have to put them through the hard times of falling down and not getting it and all the frustrations, because that's the only way they can learn to walk. And I think as adults, we forget this. And we forget that if all we ever have is good times, I don't have a better word for it. We're just going to be soft. We're not going to be ready for anything that comes our way because all we've had it is easy, per se. You know, and that's not really anybody's experience, but I'm just putting that perspective on failure and hard times.
Right, and let's not forget that God moves by the hand of man. You know, people are always asking, how come God lets all these bad things happen here? How come God lets these people starve? How come God lets this happen? And the question is really, well, how come you do? Because God moves by the hand of man. If you see something there, God's putting that in your heart, do something about it. Feed the poor. Help the sick. Do something about it. You have something in your own life and you're like, God will provide. Well, yes, but perhaps you should go out and look for a job so that he can provide. He is providing.
Oh, I love that one. That's really a good excuse too. They throw God away at their own convenience. Like you said, oh, I don't have a job. God gonna provide. Yeah, but these bills do got to be paid, and you're not gonna keep sitting on the couch making a hole in it. So I know God will provide, but I need you to provide on out that door and get a job. Thank you. Application, something. Look away. You can't use God for no excuse. Because you want to sit down on the couch, still waiting. You're getting old. God still providing. He is? And you still sitting there on that same couch. It's not going to work.
Nope. It's not. That's going back to, we teach responsibility a lot. We're to level up, guys. If you want to level up your life, you have to take responsibility. You're responsible for where you are. You know, the hard times, either because you were thinking positive, you know, I think people lose that, is I want to be a better father. So in order to be a better father, I have to learn from my mistakes. So I am responsible for the mistakes that are made. I'm responsible for the hard times that came along because I wanted to become a stronger person. Or I'm responsible because I'm making bad decisions or I'm sitting on my couch saying, God will provide. You know, I'm responsible for sitting on that couch. But as my partner always loves to say, what's the good news?
Good news is you can do something about it. You don't like the way it is. You don't like the way your life is. You can choose to do something about your life because ultimately you are responsible. It's interesting that the body works in a certain way. If you want to be lean, mean, and racy, get up off the couch and work your body. Eat better. So in doing the action, you're going to have something beneficial. That's a natural thing that happens in life. The same thing is true. If you want your bank account to be lean, trim, and racy in a good way, then you have all this credit card debt saying God will provide and yet buying things that are just going to up that credit card debt isn't going to be doing you any good. You need to do something about it. You need to be a good steward of the money you have. The same thing with your life, any aspect of your life. You don't, you know, my life is boring. I don't want to do this thing anymore. I hate my life. Cool. Do something about it. You're absolutely right. God will provide. You have to move on that.
And, I mean, I think some people think they're entitled to more happiness later by foregoing all of it, but it doesn't work that way. I think it just takes much practice as my happiness does. So some people like to soak in their misery, and I don't hang around those kind of people. Misery loves company, and that's a company I don't associate with. But it's by living that you live more, and every waiting day makes your life a little less. So you got to get out there, and you got to motivate your own self. Nobody's going to do it. Like you said, for instance, if you want to lose weight, you got to try to motivate yourself. Yes, it's fine getting a trainer, but then if you don't have enough money to keep up that trainer, you got to keep yourself going. You got to keep yourself motivated. No one can do that for you. And I was thinking on the fact that when you spoke about children earlier, now my daughters, I don't like to make them disappointed, but I will be honest with you. I'm not one of the kind that's going to always say yes. I will tell you no. We go to the store, no, you can't have that candy. I love saying it. No, you're not getting that toy. That's not what I came in here for. And yesterday I think they almost had to get their little hearts broken because they think everybody is friendly. And I tell everybody don't like children, so they had to find out yesterday. Exactly, everybody does not like kids, even if they have their own. Don't mean they want to be bought with their own or yours either. So they had to find out yesterday from the neighbors when they came over to try to play with the little boy, and the lady was like, "Well, he's not here," which I can understand. But at certain times, the little boy is there, and she'd be like, "Well, y'all have to go home." And in their mind, they're thinking like, okay, I want to go play, but I tell them everybody don't want to be bothered with you. And this is not being offensive, but this is something you have to learn. So my husband had to let them go over there and see for themselves so they can learn, because you're going to grow up and it's going to be disappointments. It's not going to be SpongeBob and Dora the Explorer.
True.
I know they're eight, but I have to teach them because they're twins. I have to let them know this is not a sugar-coated world, and that's why I be so forced to look them on their education, because everybody out here not going to want to teach you, and when they teach you, it's not going to be for free. It's going to be a cost.
Yeah.
So I know that I might seem rough to you, because they have said that, Mommy, you're rough. I am rough, but my mother kind of she sheltered me, and I didn't know a lot of stuff. And when I got out here, it was like, what are you talking about? It's really like this. And then she would call me naive. Really? But you shelter me. So I don't want to shelter them. I want them to know the reality of it. But I think, to be honest, guys, I think they're still in the la-la world. They haven't learned, so it's going to take some time.
Well, you know, at the same time, they're eight. My oldest is nine, and his sister right below him is seven and a half. So about the same age. You know, rough in that same neighborhood. And you can see, man, as a parent, right, we have to walk that thin line of being rough and getting them ready for the world and yet not taking away their innocence. It's you can see there's things that they get, but there's things that they don't. And it's like, I don't want to turn you into a jaded and hard and cold individual. I'd love for you to keep this passion that you have, but you do have to understand it's not always going to be returned. And it's, you know, that's not an easy road for a parent to walk.
It's not. It's very hard, and you want them to be as happy, but you're like, it's not a happy world. I'm not getting that feeling from other people, but in your mind, everybody is nice. And that's what I love about children, because they can make everything seem all right. The adults, if you could just be like a child for 1 minute, just see everything through their eyes, it would probably be a better world, but it's not like that at all.
True, but I think as adults, we take that bad side of that, and we look at the world through the child's eyes of, why won't you play with me? And you're mean. And, well, I'm not being mean. I'm teaching you something you need to know because you're doing something wrong, and I don't have to like you. And so many people go to work, and I did this. I'm speaking from experience. So many people meet new people in groups, or they go work a job, or they do whatever it is outside their home, and they get upset because people don't like them. Well, you don't have to be liked. You have to go and do your job. That's all it's about. Now, it's fun. It's more enjoyable when you're liked. But, I mean, Morten, you haven't been in experiences where everybody's always liked you, and you've had to maybe learn to deal with that, right?
Absolutely. You know, and you have to realize, too, that it's not personal. If somebody doesn't like you, there's usually something else going on in their head. And we tend to do what a friend of mine called borrowing trouble. Well, this person's thinking this, and they said this, so therefore it must be that they're mad at me. No, they've got a lot on their mind. Or maybe you were just the lucky winner that day, and whatever you said set off whatever was going on in their mind. Or whatever it is, you know, unless they're actually gunning for you, which is possible but unlikely, it's not personal. Don't take it that way and try to detach yourself from that. You don't need the grief. You can have a happier life with just going, well, they're going through something. Maybe, you know, and empathize with them. Maybe help them be awesome by not by not coming back with giving them yet another problem in yourself. So, but yes, people have not liked me in the past.
No, they're not. And that's something we just going to have to keep sticking to our children about. But I would like to know, what's the secret to your motivation?
Being transparent and honest. The secret to our motivation is understanding first that we're human beings. And when you can accept that about yourself, that you're human, you're damaged, you want everybody to accept you for that, going, why can't they just see I need this or need that? And you understand that you're a human being and you have needs and you have damage, then it's a whole lot easier to understand the next person that blows up at you, go, no, you're a human being too, and you have damage and you have good things about you. I mean, it really starts with yourself, always, is understanding who you are and why you do things lets you understand people. I mean, Morten and I were in a situation last year where we started to work with this radio network. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy blew up. And the human reaction was for about 3 seconds, which was new for me because usually it's a 5-day process of ranting and raving and why is this happening? But it's about a 3-second process of, man, you can't talk to me that way. And I went, wait a minute, this is way out of left field. There's something going on in his life that has nothing to do with me and what's going on here. And when you can get to that point and understand, okay, you're exploding not because I did something, but because something else is going on in your life, man, the world opens up, and you can do so many more things. You're a ninja. You just disappear and dodge and, I don't know, other ninja stuff.
Yeah, one of the hard things is with taking things personally or getting angry is sometimes we have a lot of anger already, and we're holding on to that anger. And if something happens and you are more angry than the situation warrants, then you chances are you're holding on to some anger and you're just unleashing or unloading on somebody. And the same thing can be happening to you in response to that. So if you can get a control on your emotions, either find some way to transform them, find some way to release them, you know, find your happy place and just take each situation at face value without bringing your attitude in. That's going to help you. It's going to help them. And you're going to have a much richer life. And I think that's why we're here, to enjoy life to the fullest.
Exactly, and that's what you're supposed to do because life is too short, man, to be having all that stress on you. You take a chill pill. Do what they always say, go do something, get a glass of wine by your bed and drink it. Live life up because that stress will take you away. My coworker said that's what she does. She have a bottle of wine next to her bed every day. Just about so when she get off work, she can just relax. And I have no problem with that, with whatever makes you comfortable. Because, like I said, people, they choose to be in their own funk. And I think what really motivates me the most is, well, actually doing this show and second, looking at my children, knowing I have a husband that supports me, and also knowing that there are people who have bigger problems than I do. And it's like, really? You have really nothing to complain about. And that's why I said I'm thankful every day. If I could wake up to do the show knowing that I have the roof over my head, then that's good enough. Because I always say to my children when we go driving, they see people out down the street, I say, that's where you don't want to be, to be thankful. Because they're always hollering, oh, we want a bigger house because they went to my aunt's house. And her house is a large size and nice and everything. I said, but be thankful where you're at because you could lose that in 2 seconds. And then you're actually going to be out here. And I'm saying people whose house we went to, I love my family, but all in honesty, we'll see how fast they open the door. That's what you say with them. People be in your face all day, oh, God, I love you. But ask for a helping hand. Oh, my house burned down. I need someone to say, bad connection. Oh, you can't stay here. Yeah. And then when you stay with them, then it's look, you know it's true, guys. You stay with them, then it's 50,000 rules on the plate. You're like, what? Because I know I stay with him. Before I had to stay with my husband, I stayed with this one girl, and she would actually have me up at the crack of dawn at 8 o'clock in the morning, talking about get out of her house. And I'm like, well, what the hell? You know, my friend, where the hell am I supposed to go at 8 o'clock in the morning? There's no malls open, no stores, so where am I going to go at 8 o'clock in the morning? Are you serious? So that's why I tell my girls, be thankful, man. You be hauling a bigger house. You got to be thankful to sleep on this house and be thankful. Shoot.
Yeah,
they don't see everything like we do.
Well, you know, I think that's just true always. Nobody oversees everything the way you do because we all have our individual experiences and filters and perspectives. But when you're in the middle of the problems, you're talking about having your house burned, or not literally, but your example was having your house burned down. You can choose to see there's both sides of the coin. Your house burned down. Life really sucks right this second. And you're stuck in the mud, as I like to say. You can sit there and you can just stare at that mud all day long and be miserable, and you're going nowhere. Or the other truth, because they're both true, the other truth is it burned down, but you're going to move to something different, better. You're going to learn from this. And my partner, he always does it on the phone because when I'm mad, you don't want to say this because it's so aggravating. It's like, what's good about this that you're missing? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about that right now. I'm mad, raw. But I would calm down, and the truth is, what are you supposed to learn out of this? What are you going to get? I've heard so many stories of people fighting foreclosures on their home and fretting about it and having to be advised, hey, what would happen if you didn't have this home? You're looking at these other jobs. What would happen if this home didn't tie you down? And once they realized losing the house, not that they wanted to and not that they walked away from it, but they stopped fighting and just let themselves go into the process, they lost their house, which was an emotional big deal. It was a very bad time emotionally. However, what it did was give them the freedom to take the job they truly wanted and to move on to something better. That house that was their emotional tie was holding them down. You know, you never know when a bad thing comes if it's actually really good and what's going to happen next. And so you can choose to look at the mud, or you can choose to look at the next best thing that you're going to go to and start moving out of the mud.
Exactly, because I don't know if I want to stay in the mud too long.
It's good for your skin, Tanisha. The mud's good for your skin. It gives you a glow. It makes you better.
He said that's one. But guys, I'm take a commercial break, and we're gonna be back with the Success Freaks because this is awesome. I'm telling you, you never know what path you might be on, who you might meet. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
There's only one station that will keep you happy: Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back with the Success Freaks. And yes, it is raining outside, so I hope all you ladies have on your caps and stuff, because I know some of you went to the salon like I did yesterday. So we don't need our hair to be messed up. Yeah, I know I did. I can't afford my hair to be messed up now. It's cute. But anyhow, you know, I was thinking of, you know, someone had sent me something I had read online, and it was really funny because, you know, we want God to always help us, as we were saying, you know, God, I'm waiting on God to help me. And the joke supposed to be like this. They were saying there was a flood in the village. One man said to everyone, I'll say God will save me. The flood got higher, and a boat came, and the man in it said, come on, mate, get in. No, replied the man. God will save me. The flood got very high now, and the man had to stand on the roof of his house. A helicopter soon came, and the man offered him help. No, God will save me, he said. Eventually, he died by drowning. He got by the gates of heaven. He said to God, why didn't you save me? God replied, for goodness sake, I sent a boat and a helicopter. What more do you want? And I thought it was hilarious because I think that happens in real life. God will send you so much, but I guess you'd be waiting on a big finish or a big interest from God or something. It's like, man, I gave you everything and you turned it down, so now it's over. And it's almost like saying you cannot let your opportunities pass away. And that's how I felt about you guys when I was listening in on some podcast. Like, you didn't let the opportunity pass you by. You clicked. You met one another because you both could have actually just went on your own path, but you didn't. You stuck it out. You was like, Ebony and Ivory. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Ebony and Ivory, you stuck it on out. You stuck like glue. So, with you having so much confidence, what are some of your biggest fears, though?
We all have fears. Our biggest fear, same thing as anybody else, failure, success. Saying the wrong thing, looking dumb, bad hair. We all have the same. We all have fear. That's the thing. People who are doing great things have fear. It's just that they move through it. You know, you can't have courage without fear. If you don't have any fear whatsoever, then you're just doing your job. Then it's just easy peasy. No need for courage there. You're there. You got this.
However, with fear comes courage. Then that gives the opportunity for courage to grow, for you to be brave. So we talk about home of the free and land of the free and home of the brave. Those brave people out there, whether they're in the military, whether they're trying something new, whether they're putting this trying to be creative when everybody else is putting them down. Those brave people out there who are going on to become successful have fear. So don't be afraid of fear. You're going to have it. In fact, fear is a great barometer. It's almost like radar. Bless you. It depends on, you can use it and go, what am I afraid of most? When I make my list of what I want to do every day, the first thing I look at is, okay, what am I afraid of? What do I least want to do? That's number one. Now, do I always do it first? No, because sometimes I'm just scared. But I move beyond that, and I use it as a barometer. This is the thing I need to do. Today I'm working on my taxes. Not happy. Not really wanting to do that. Have a little bit of fear, but it's number one on the list because that's the thing I should be doing. Same thing with if you ever talk to actors who are doing movies. Why did you pick that role? It's the one that most scared me. It's the one that I've never done anything like it before. It's the one that challenged me the most. So we have the same fears as everybody else, but we're finding ways to break through that, to work through that, and yet still have the fear. Fear is not going to go away. It might lessen. You'll get used to it. You can get used to anything. And then again, you're just doing your job. But if everything you're doing doesn't scare you, you need to find something a little more challenging because you're having a very boring life. And that's great for a while. That's great when you reach a plateau, hang out, enjoy the sun, put your feet in the sand, enjoy the beach. But every once in a while, it's time to move on. Okay, this is getting boring. Let's find something else. Because if you don't move on, if you don't challenge yourself, you're going to look for trouble. You're going to look for other ways to entertain you. It might be drinking, it might be drugs, it might be, adultery, whatever it is, whatever your kink is.
It might be reality TV.
Hey, that works. Everybody's doing that. Everybody's got around mama, daddy, sisters, brothers.
Well, we talk about the positive trauma. You have to have some kind of drama in your life. It's something that takes you out of your own life. And we talk about the positive drama of your good problems to have. And I blank on what some of the examples are. But it was like starting a business. Let's go back to raising kids. We've all been talking about raising kids all day. Kids are drama, man. But sometimes it's that positive drama of, okay, you taught them a lesson. They went next door. They found out they're not always wanted next door. And while there's a little bit of drama to that, it's beneficial. It's building their lives. As opposed to hunting trouble or, my sister-in-law is just going to come over here and she's just going to rip on my furniture and hate on my food. And that's not the drama you want. But we always need something in our lives. I think the drama is what takes us out of the everyday, out of the rut, it makes us wake up and say, hey, something's going on here.
Yeah, I think people complaining about what they're doing or certainly complaining about what you're doing are people who are just bored. They've got nothing else going on, so they're going to find something to entertain themselves. If they were busy moving forward with their life, they're busy moving forward with a successful life, they're going to surround themselves with like-minded people. And they're not going to talk about, hey, what's wrong with you? What's going on with your life? So they can go ahead and get their turn at it. Well, this is what sucks in my life. They're going to look and go, hey, how did you achieve that? Because I'm having a similar problem. Okay, cool. Well, here's what's going great in my life. You're going to surround yourself with like-minded people.
Now, I can only imagine, because I did not go to the salon and get my hair did yesterday, but I can imagine that most salons, you're going to hear the people not talking about the greatness in their life, but talking about what's going wrong, either in their life or in others' lives. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that?
What was that again? I'm sorry. You said.
Well, and how's that make you feel, sitting around it, being around it? How does it make you feel when you're done?
You talking about it as far as doing my show, inspiring others?
When you're at the salon and you're surrounded by the ladies talking about the bad stuff in their life, does it make you feel good about your life, or does it make you feel like that you've got to share some bad stuff too?
Well, to be honest, it makes me run to the other side of the world sometimes. Because, for instance, I have one young. I love all my coworkers, but sometimes you got to leave your problems to the other leave them at home or either see a psychiatrist. One of you got to pick one option because I have not the option. But, okay, somebody posted something on her Facebook page, and she didn't like it. And she was exploding like I had done. And I was like, and, you know, I'm listening, and I was there to talk. I was like, I don't even know you on Facebook. I don't even know your name. How you spell it? Hey, you coming? You talking? I wrote the comment. I'm like, what's going on? And she was going on and on about it. I'm like, why don't we confront the person who actually did it? Or you can always delete it or block it. It's plenty of other options. But we're not going to keep getting on my nerves. So I'm the type of person, I might tell somebody else, like, so-and-so ain't getting on my nerves or something like that, but I will walk away. I try not to engage in that because it start bringing you down. And then also, guys, I'm a waitress, so I don't need that effect on me while I'm waiting on my table. Like, my God, now this is on my head, and I got to, the customer's going to see that I'm upset about something that's not even my own business. So most of the time, I don't mind listening. That's not a problem for me. I will listen all day to you if that's what you need. But we're not going to keep going through the same scenario. Let it go. And that's how I felt that day, like, okay, here she go. And then what made it so bad, she fought with me, and then she went on to somebody else talking about it. And I'm like, and it sort of affected me because I'm like, why don't you just let it go? Now you're bothering everybody else about the problem. Just let it go. And the person who she talked about was there, was working there, and I'm like, why not talk to that person? There they go. Like, you're telling all of us about this issue. So I'm the kind, I don't get into arguments, and it takes a lot for me to explode because I'm one of the kind, I'm a happy person. That's what my coworkers always said. They said, you need more children because you always make stuff sound so good. Like, if you broke something, I would say, yeah, you broke it. Yeah, you did. Like I do my babies. Yeah, you broke it. And then this was one of my coworkers. She said, you always be talking to us like you a mother to all of us. You need to have more kids. And I'm like, no, do not let that fool you, cuzzy. I'm sorry, but mine's get on my last nerves. I promise, they fight like they're old women. I don't understand that. I don't. It's every day. And look, I have read books. I have tried to be positive. You know, you be positive. If you clean your room, you can find things. If you pick up stuff around here, it'd be cleaner in the house. But that positive reinforcement goes out the door because they act like they do not hear me. Like, yeah, right, she really talking to us. So then I have to go into my other mode. Get the room clean before I have to kill one of you. I don't mind taking you out. I don't. So I try, and then my husband doesn't make it any easier. He'd be like, oh, you know, you got your motivation show out. That's not how you're supposed to be. And I'd be like, go bite me, because that's not motivation. I'd be like, that is not motivation in this house when you got to listen to 2 8-year-olds arguing and bickering all day. I am trying to stay motivated.
That's the thing. People think that motivation is just all positive, happy time. And that's one of the really things we're really careful with on our show, to show the dark side of positive, to show the hard lessons. Because sometimes motivation is not getting the belt, not getting the switch on your butt. That's motivation. You know, we why do we show up to a job that we hate? Because the motivation is we don't want to lose our house. We don't want to starve. We don't want to be broke. Negative motivation is still motivation.
Exactly. And then, as I think someone told me this, you don't have to be motivated and actually to do something that makes you really actually feel good. You don't have to be that way. Like, I don't have to be motivated just to do this. But I actually feel like I do, because I don't want to be on here miserable. Yeah, what's up? What's going on? Let's get this interview over with. All right. Okay, you done? I'm done. But that's how one of my kids actually made me feel when he was like, yeah, I only got this 30 minutes. And he said it right down there. He was like, yeah, I'm going to have to go. And I was like, all right, wonderful. Continue on your day, sir. Continue on your day. You take on over the show. You know, you get something to, like, take over the show. You be like, hold on, wait a minute now. This show was my name is on this show. I don't understand how you became the host. But, you know, I wanted to say something in regards to fear, because I think fear is actually you doing something awesome. And like you said about some people, they have to face fear every day. Like, for instance, our Olympic athletes, our football players, and successful business people, they all feel that pressure and anxiety and fear. And I think that what makes them great out here, they do something worth their fear. And I think it was Mark Twain who said, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the mastery of fear. So I just want to state that. It makes it worth pursuing when you have fear in you. You got it, because it's going to build the courage.
Yeah, John Wayne said, feel the fear and saddle up anyways.
Oh, and Porky picks it, but that's all, folks. I don't know. I'm trying to throw a quote out. You guys are getting great quotes. I got nothing.
Yeah, it's the difference between letting life happen to you, sitting back and just getting what's just handed you, and jumping up and, you know, seizing the day. Carpe diem, seize your life. Carpe vita, I don't know, seize the fish. Carpe carp. Whatever it is, be proactive in your own life. Be afraid of something. Find something you're scared of and move forward with it. You know, I won't go and jump out of a plane, but I'll try zip lining. You know, there's different things you can try. I don't want to go down a dark street, but I will travel to different countries sometimes by myself. Explore the world. Test your limits. You're here to have a life. Have a great one. At the very least, try. You know, fail at something. Go out. I remember I had to invite somebody, Athua Richardson, who is she's a comic book artist, a regular artist, a rapper, a singer, all these things. And she was at a Comic-Con. Never met the woman. Somebody on our team said, go get her for an interview. I had to go and talk to – I'm a little bit shy sometimes. So I had to go find this person who's very, very talented. And the whole time I was saying to myself, go ahead. It's all right. Make a big mess of this. Fail forward. Jump into this. It's all right. Fail with this and have a glorious time at it. And I went, and she was delightful. She said yes. I even wound up doing a video blog of the situation. It was a lot of fun. So if you have the opportunity, you don't know what I don't want to do. I don't want to fail. Find something you won't mind failing at, and have a wonderful time making a mess, because you'll clean it up. You'll move forward, and maybe that'll be something you love. Now, if at first you don't succeed, then skydiving is not for you. Don't do that. Find something else, but don't be afraid of failure. Come on, have fun with your life.
Well, go back out there trying to do it again. He didn't say go back out there. He said just give it a try.
Yeah.
I don't want nobody out there bungee jumping. Me like, well, I wanted to try one more time just to see if it would overcome my fear. No, no. He said give it a try. And if you don't succeed, then you just need to find something else. I love it. Have you? Do you feel that you always been successful?
You know, that is such a deep question, because you can look back in your life and say, "Yeah, even with the hard times, I've." Been successful, but I've recently gone through some really hard times. And I told my partner, I mean, there was a brief moment where I looked at stepping back from Success Freaks for a while, because I just did not feel successful. I didn't see success. And, you know, he was able to point out that even during the hardest times, because of how I dealt with it, that in itself was successful. And you can't be successful without the failure. And, you know, living what you preach is a hard thing. So I'll answer, I haven't always felt successful, but as I look back on the lessons I've learned, learning makes you successful. If you didn't learn from your mistake, you're going to keep making that mistake until you do learn from it. So the fact that I haven't repeated these things has made me successful. What about you, Morten?
I think that there's a perfectness to failing as well. I think that I've not always been successful. I've not always felt successful from day to day, even. And if anything, I've learned that I have some people that I'm very impressed with, and who have really accomplished a lot in their lives. And what I like is when they share a little bit of how they're failing. And I don't mean how they failed in the past and everything's rosy now. I mean even now, how they're failing. And that tells me, oh, well, if you're doing that, then it must be okay that I'm doing that.
So I'm going to keep going because now I know that there's light at the end of the tunnel and maybe a little darkness after that and then some more light because, you know, life is like that. There's different levels of stuff. As we learn to level up our lives, there's different ways of doing this. So Charles going through his time, me going through my times that I still go through, we share those with people and they can see, oh, well, then I must be on the right path to be successful because if you're doing it, then I'm doing it. So that there's a place for your failure, not just in your life as teaching you how to become a success, but in creating the possibility for other people. And since I believe that we're all connected on some level, on quantum level, through the divine, however you wish to look at it, we're all connected, and we're here to live as examples for other people. You're here to live your own life. You're here to be responsible, have a great life. But even the failures, the challenges are what makes the victory so sweet. Anybody who's ever played video games, Charles and I play video games, you kick, you know, you get onto a level, it kicks your butt, finally you defeat it, and that's great. Now, you could stay there winning all the time, but that's going to get boring. So you go to the next level, so you get challenged there too. Oh, I don't like it when I'm losing. But eventually when you win, that's the plus. So, no, I've not, you know, I do still feel like a failure sometimes. I still feel that sometimes, but I'm conscious of it. And I'm working to move forward in spite of that feeling and enjoy my life along with that feeling because I know that I'm also successful.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Now, you said we're all connected. Does that mean I'm connected to some of the people on my job? Because I don't know. Cause some of them act like they're bipolar. I don't know if I want to be connected to them as much because they be going in and out, and because I know one young lady that worked with us, she did take medication, but I don't know about for the others. I don't want you to stab me in my back, actually, literally stab me in my back, and I'm connected. I don't know if I want to be connected to those people.
Well,
no.
We are connected to the people we're around, and, you know, look at how that makes you feel when you're around them, when they're having their mood swing or they're having those moments. Mentally, like if I would walk in your office and I saw that, I'm like, okay. She's having a bad day. I can walk away because that's just logic. But it makes you feel differently about your day because you're there. You're tied to it. You are connected. When they swing, you find your emotions pulling too. And the only way to get away from something like that is to either level up your life or to actually get away from something like that.
I'm going to just have to get away from that then.
There you go.
Now, guys, you just released Success Freaks, Guide to Dream Hunting. Tell me how that came about.
Success Freaks, Guide to Dream Hunting is a collection of articles that Charles and I have written, and it's divided into three parts. There's truth hunting, head hunting, and heart hunting. Head hunting is the stuff that affects your mind, how we think about certain things. Heart hunting is more about relationships. Truth hunting is what we like to call the dark side of positive. You can sit there and you can motivate and you can, you know, stir the quantum soup and bring opportunities to you and you pray and meditate and things come your way, but you got to get off your butt and go to work with it. You got to do something. That's the dark side of positive is you have to set things in motion, just like the exercise thing. You have to get off the couch and move. You want to change your life? Great. Pray about it. Meditate about it. Get off the couch and move. That's the dark side of positive. So we divided it into three different sections, and it's available on Kindle, but you don't have to have a Kindle. You can have, you know, the Kindle app on your smartphone or your tablet. You can get it through successfreaks.com/book or books. I can't remember which it is. And it's available on Amazon.
Okay.
So how's that for a plug?
I think that's wonderful. And this is for up-to-date people. I know some people don't like their technology, but we're going to try today. Let's take step one. Open the computer today, and let's go online. There you go.
And get her book.
And get the book, step two. As you know, you got some grandparents. Like, I don't know nothing about it. I'm not going on no line. Don't give me no phone wall there. Because that's how my mother is. All she wants to do is pick it up and call. And you call her. All that extra stuff, no texting, no nothing. So it's hard to really reach her. I'd be like, Mom, your mailbox was full. You really need to learn how to empty your mailbox on your voice. No one can never get in touch with you, and you stay in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I can't drive no 2 hours every time to get there to you. So I need you to really learn how to clear this mailbox. It's time. I know you're a baby boomer, but you need to learn. Oh, yeah, mama, that's a baby boomer right there. That mama right there, mama had a hound on me. So I want to know how to help the others help you personally, though.
How do others help us personally?
Mm-hmm.
Man, do we have another 3 hours to talk about it?
Oh, my. Well.
Well, helping others. You know, help, man. I just actually, again, went through an experience where I've lived the life of helping others be awesome. And so I got to a point with my company, I needed to make a pitch, and I needed to make it different than everybody else's. And so I'm not just going to put a resume, I'm not just going to, here's the things I've done. I was trying to figure out how do you say you help others be awesome? So I actually sent out an email to people that I've helped and said, help me be awesome. And I can tell you, the emails that came in, they were just amazingly great about how they saw me and how I helped them. And, you know, when you put yourself in other people's lives, you really connect in a way you want to connect with them. You know, not in the bipolar, don't stab me in the back kind of way, but in the man, I really want to see you succeed. And when you do that for somebody else, that's all they see you as, and that's all they see for you is success and wanting the best for you. I forget if it's an old axiom, wise self, it's from the Bible. I honestly don't remember. But you get out what you put in. And when you're helping others be awesome all the time, it just comes back in such big ways. And starting in my house going out, you know, I really try hard to help my wife. And honestly, that's where I fail the most, is you fail at home first and then fail out in the world. And so I have to work harder to help her. But she's just done so much for me in the support of my company and what we do. I don't know if there's anything else to add there, Morton. You know, you got.
Yeah, I think one of the things for me personally, you know, working on Success Freaks and bringing these shows from week to week forces us to look at these things in our own lives. And me personally, it forces me to work on my own life. As I'm bringing information and working on a show about a certain thing, I'm going to look at that in my own life. And so when I'm dealing with issues in my own life, these things are going to hit the back of my head. You're gonna these little messages instead of a devil on one side, an angel on the other. I got a success freak in the middle going, you don't want to do that, you know, or you want to do that better. The other thing is that there's a law of reciprocity out there, and you don't know if it's gonna happen in 3 months or 3 years. But if you do for someone, they may not specifically come back to you, but something with them is gonna come back to you. You know, it happens with your tithing. It happens with the acts of service you do. It happens with just helping a friend out. Even if it's for the immediate gratification, it's that good feeling inside of being able to help somebody else out, being able to lend a helping hand, whether it's financially, you know, with no strings attached, or it's emotionally or intellectually or however you want to do it. You know, there's that law of reciprocity. It's going to come back to you. And you got to be careful. Don't just do it for that. Well, I'm going to do this so that I get this back. Well, you know, then there's your reward, you know, that. But if you do it because you're learning to help other people, you know, you want to help your relationship, help others be awesome. Help your spouse be awesome. Put them first. You want to help your business, find ways to help others be awesome. Find better ways to service whoever it is that, you know, a better customer service. And we're all in the business of customer service, even if you're working business to business, even if you're working just within the confines of your business, you're a customer service for the people that you deal with every day. You want that to grow. You want your personal life to grow. Help others be awesome. And that's how that's worked for us, you know. And it's again, there's successes and there's failures in this, but it's a life. It's a life that we're building, and it makes it much more interesting than the crap I had before when I was drinking so much, when I was doing drugs so much, when I was, you know, doing all the other stuff. You know, this is a much better life. I like who I am better. Not perfect, just awesome.
Exactly. I love it. Guys, I really do thank you for being on the show and inspiring us with your laughter and everything. Thank you so much for this honor. And I hope I can stay in touch with you guys, because that's what I love to do. I love to stay in touch with everybody. I don't like to lose No one. But, guys, once again, if you don't mind giving the listeners your website so they can get in contact with you.
Yes, everything can be found at successfreaks.com. Our email, the Twitter, Facebook, we're everywhere. Of course, you can Google it, but if you just go to successfreaks.com, you'll get some writing that we've done. You'll get, of course, the show that we do every week, videos, everything you need to be successful. And we're here to help you level up your life.
All of our social media is accessible through that. You can find us on, please find us on Facebook and like us there. And if you have iTunes, our weekly show, which is now, I think we've just finished episode 144, is available on iTunes. So go ahead and check that out. Look for Success Freaks there as well.
Yeah, see, they say they're success freaks. They're just helping you to get to the next point, not your mind in the gutter. So please make sure you get in contact with these guys. They're wonderful. They're inspirational. They keep you going, and that's what it's all about. We need that success in our life and that laughter. But thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Technisha. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, my loved ones, I'm going to take a commercial break, and coming up next will be Ron Armstead. He is an executive director for the congregation for the Congressional Black Caucus. So stay tuned because we'll be talking about black veterans who are not being recognized in America. So let's stay tuned, and as I always say, keep your ears and your eyes open.
There's only one station that will keep you happy. Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey, the dreaded splash fight. It's Dad O'Clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, hello.
Hello?
Ron?
This is
hello,
Ron
Armstead.
This is Ron Armstead. You asked me to...
Yes, and Marnie?
Yes,
hello?
I'm here as well.
Okay. And Ron, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Oh, my
Ron.
God. I think I ended up having both of my loved ones at the same time. Oh.
Well, if you want, I can call back at a different time.
Well, Marnie, if you want, because I can still get you. I can still get you in. I can. Do you want to get you in right after?
At what time would you like me to call back?
At about 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock? Yes, I think I can do that. Let me just look at my schedule. Hold on one second. Yes, I can call in at 2 o'clock.
Hey, Marnie.
All right, I'll speak to you then. Bye-bye.
Well, Ron, it looks like it's me and you now.
All right.
That was my mistake, Ron. See my listeners out. When you do so much, that's what happens. You play in all your great listeners.
they say you got to work with those people to stay busy.
You do, and I was trying not to have both of you at the same time, Ron. Oh, boy, I tell you. But as I was saying, Ron is the executive director for the Congressional Black Caucus, and Ron has been focusing on black veterans who have not been recognized in America. And a lot of people don't talk about these things, but this is something I want to bring attention to because we do need this in our lives. We need We need to talk about things like this. So if you have any questions, please do call in at 347-426-3751. I love feedback and plenty of questions, and I'm on chat too. So Ron, give us a little bit of details about what it is that you actually do.
Well, I work with members of the Congressional Black Caucus, three in particular, Congressman Sanford Bishop out of Southwest Georgia, who is now the ranking committee member on the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Military Construction and Veterans Affairs, Congresswoman Corrine Brown out of Jacksonville, Florida, who is a senior member of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and the Honorable Charles Rangel out of Harlem, New York, who is the Chairman Emeritus of the House Ways and Means Committee. And we're actually veterans advocates. I run a group called the Veterans Brain Trust, and that's one word, Congressional Black Caucus Veterans Brain Trust, and we consider ourselves the think tank and the advocacy group for black veterans around the country. Each year we convene in Washington, D.C. in September as a part of the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation's annual legislative conference. We put on major issues, forums, and national sessions dealing with particular topics of relevance to black veterans and the black community. So we have just celebrated our 25th anniversary.
Okay.
In terms of putting on continuous forums, and we do workshops and other things throughout the year.
You know, it's very sad that our black veterans ought to be treated this way, and I think this has been going on for more than 20 years, and especially with homelessness that he spoke of. I don't understand how it gets to this point where no one is looking out for them to have a home. They shouldn't be homeless. These are people who are honored.
Yeah, the word homeless and veteran should not be used in the same sentence. That's what I always say.
Exactly.
And as a matter of fact, I am in Gary, Indiana, on my way to Indianapolis to the National Black Social Workers Conference to put on a presentation about homeless veterans, which will take place Thursday morning. So annually we advocate. I'll also be at the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans annual meeting in latter part of May, doing a forum on homeless minority veterans, along with my colleague, Mr. Ralph Cooper.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're still advocating why these veterans go and serve and then end up in worse conditions than when they went in. We know that in a number of instances that African Americans go into service. Why? Because it offers travel, jobs, and training.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow when they get out to be homeless, or as my former professor of mine says, houseless, they're in worse conditions than they were before they went into service. So they go in looking for opportunity, equal opportunity and an opportunity to advance and enhance themselves, and then come out and they're in worse conditions than when they went in. There's something wrong with this picture. There's something wrong with this picture. And we have to have people who are advocates that stand up and say something's wrong.
Exactly. Because this is ridiculous. And then when they come out, they have so... But do you think some of the homelessness comes because of post-traumatic stress, maybe traumatic brain injury? And
that's some of it. That's not all of it, though.
Okay.
That's not all of it. That's some of it. I mean, I think we've reached a plateau in knowledge about homeless veterans. If you read the literature, the standard is, oh, it's post-traumatic stress disorder, oh, it's substance abuse, oh, it's mental illness. I turn around and say, well, that's on one side of the ledger. The other side of the ledger is we're not working. We're unemployed.
Okay.
No. The last statistic I saw, one of the most alarming statistics I saw came out on Veterans Day, not last year, maybe the year before last, in the Bloomberg Business Report. It said that our unemployment for the black soldiers aged 18 through 24 was 48.8%. Now, I didn't get a PhD because I couldn't do the math, I couldn't do the statistics. But 48.8%, that's 50 to me. And that means that's every other person ain't working.
Mm.
And we know that unemployment is a major contributor to homelessness. Also, in the inner city where I'm from Boston, but if you look in Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, San Francisco, the major cities, it's a high cost of housing. There's a lack of affordable housing. For example, in Boston, the median price of a one-bedroom apartment, median meaning middle, is $2,400 a month. In order to pay $2,400 a month, you have to have an income of $66,000 a year.
Okay.
Do the math. Wendy's and McDonald's don't pay $66,000 a year.
Well, Ron, this is what I don't understand. When you go over there and you're fighting for your country, where is all the money coming from? I thought that they have money when they come out. So they don't have nothing at all?
No, they have some benefits. I mean, they have the new, what they call the new GI Bill, the 9/11 GI Bill, which actually it gives them money to go to school. There's a housing allowance, et cetera. So there are some bills. But they're not. There are no housing provisions per se, right? There's no production of housing. You know, we live in a society where they call supply and demand. When there's a short supply of affordable housing, you get a ride. You get a bump in the amount of housing that's expensive because there's a lack of availability at the lower end or the affordable end of the equation. So there are no housing production programs for veterans. There's no housing being produced in this country exclusively for veterans other than what you see as the homeless stuff, which is the, in most instances, is kind of the single, what they call SRO, single room occupancy kind of dwellings. Right, but there's no manufacturing per se of affordable housing units for veterans, and that's part of the problem. I mean, that's the one good thing I can say about the Obama program. At least it has made housing a part of the issue of homelessness, the lack of housing, not just substance abuse, PTSD, traumatic brain injury, et cetera. Right, it is a housing problem that we must address.
We do. Also, we got to address this health care, too, for them as well. But doesn't VA take care of homeless veterans?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But right now, the last statistic I saw, the VA, if you look across the VA homeless programs, African Americans are using them to the 40th percent. But we're only 10% of the population. So it's a kind of four times our representation in the population of veterans is our use in terms of VA homeless programs. There's still something in terms of cause and effect that is not, in my humble estimation, that is adding up for us to really get a handle of what is going on in terms of this homelessness. If we are only 10% of the veterans population, I still find it kind of hard to fathom that we're 35% of the homelessness, and that's down from 2 years ago where we were 50. Once again, 50% means we're every other person across the nation in terms of homelessness. but we're only 1 out of 10 of the general population. Somehow that those numbers are not adding up for me. They're just not adding up.
This is ridiculous, and not only that, I think it's ridiculous with the fact that how long it took one just for some of our veterans who have been overlooked because of racism to be actually recognized.
Yes, recent Medal of Honor ceremony that the president is to be commended for holding, but we should question the fact that Congress had to legislate for the Department of Defense to go back to World War II, or go back over 50 years to look and see if the issue of discrimination might have influenced the awarding of the Congressional Medal of Honor. And going back over 50 years, they came away with 24 people and only one black person that could have possibly been discriminated against in the awarding of the medal. I find that rather incomprehensible.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You go back 50 years, all the way back to World War II, which is actually 70 years, and you only come away with one black person
exactly. That
could have possibly been discriminated against? And they set the bar at the Distinguished Service Cross, which is one notch below the Medal of Honor. And the only person they came away with was one. And he was out of Vietnam, and that was 40 years ago?
Exactly. And I think he was like 72?
Yes. You know what I think is the interesting parallel to that? It's kind of like when the black community goes back to the police force and asks them to investigate a police brutality incident.
Exactly.
Inevitably, they come away and say there was no malfeasance in this, and we're stuck right where we always been.
You are.
The victim.
And I mean, it's been going on for the longest run, where people have been overlooked for so much, and then here go, like you said, the Defense Department officials, they want to, now you find evidence to such things like that discrimination. Man, that's been going on the longest. There's no need of overlooking it. I know some people have their comments about it. Okay, discrimination, it's all race, we still talking about it. Yes, we are still talking about it because it was a big topic back then. That's why a lot of our black heroes didn't get recognized, because of their skin color. It didn't have nothing to do, they didn't do as much work. No, it was just because they was black, and that's the point, and that's the bottom line.
And that's why I wrote the article.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wrote the article, to point out, Dory, we're still waiting on Henry Johnson from World War I, who fought with the Harlem Hellcats and was the first American, not African-American, the first American awarded the Croix de Guerre from the French, which is their cross of war, shot 21 times, didn't get the Purple Heart, which they give you for being wounded, to the 1990s. We're still waiting on Dory Miller, who we know was the first hero of the attack on Pearl Harbor for World War II. They withheld his name from the black press. He finally got the Navy Cross. We're still waiting on him. And the most recent person is a person that comes out of all places, Sanford, Florida, where the tragedy for Trayvon Martin happened. And his name is First Sergeant L. Wayne Cash, who died of, had suffered burns over 90% of his body, was awarded the Silver Star posthumously after he passed away.
Yeah.
And one of his commanding officers had already recommended him. We're still waiting. We have not in the war, the longest war in American history, the first black person we saw receive that medal was this recent person, and he got it from 40 years ago. So for this whole 10-year period of war on terrorism, we haven't seen a single African-American stand in the White House and receive the nation's highest honor. Something's wrong with that picture.
It is. And that made me think about, too, Ron, what's that movie they did, The Rosewood, and they honored some people. I think that's when Bill Clinton was in office. They had honored some of them people mm-hmm. who had survived during that Rosewood time. It's like, wow. These people, they're to the point, like, I'm just to be honest, one foot is in a grave and the other one is out. That's how old people are, and it took all that many years just to honor these people, like you said, with these veterans. Only three of them survived out of the 24 upon honor. Like, dude, they're gone. And I think that you should have recognized that as well. Like, you're trying to honor 20 veterans, but all of them are gone, Obama. I'm not being funny, but they're gone now. And now somebody wants to recognize them. It's really sad. It's sad that how we're still getting done. And we think that we're not still in slavery a little bit. I don't know.
Well, we know this. We know that the heroes of America and the nation that we're so proud of has been built on the blood, sweat, and tears of a lot of African Americans and others. But yet still, to the popular American public, African Americans haven't done anything, haven't contributed. That's why we have all these conversations about affirmative action, what we're owed, because we're not seen as having contributed anything to the building of the nation. And the withholding of recognition, which I call delayed recognition, we always get ours in delay, is a part of that. Is a part of that thing that African Americans have not contributed equally and fully to the building of this nation. And that's not true. It's not based in fact. That's myth. And that's the myth that is still being propagated while we are still having these conversations about race and discrimination. Mm-hmm. Because the broader public just is not aware of the contribution that we have made. What else can I say?
It's nothing really, Ron. I mean, like you said, we as the whole nation have to come together and make a stand. We got to stop living behind these closed doors like this one is this, because it is here. I mean, to really say that is to stand together.
Hey, I'm losing you a little bit. I'm traveling in a vehicle.
Oh. Ron, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I was going to say, I was saying that, like you were saying before, as a nation, black people will have just come together and start making a stand for what it is. Like, we got to stop being behind these closed doors and like we don't see what's actually going on. Yes, racism still plays a part. I don't think it's as big of an issue as much, but it still plays a part. And for you to say that you don't see color, I think that's really important.
Hi, Maddie. What you doing?
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Uh-huh.
They say the price we pay is we have to be vigilant.
Oh, okay. Oh, you did. How was school?
We have to be vigilant in a case like this.
How was school today?
Hello?
Good. Yeah.
What
you do
fine? Hello?
Ron, I'm here.
Yeah, but we're breaking up. We seem to be breaking up.
Yeah. Well, Ron, I'm not going to try to hold you up because I know you are traveling. But
yes.
I just wanted to ask for your insights on anything that the black community could be doing at this point, because I know you said there are events coming up or any way they could get in touch with you to get things started.
Yes, they can always, they can call me on my cell phone on 617-331-3583. Once again, I'll be in Indianapolis at the National Black Social Workers Conference which begins this week on Thursday, doing a presentation around homeless veterans, talking about cause and effect and what we need to do in terms of social policy and planning to keep the next generation of veterans, to make the next generation of veterans the greatest generation of veterans. And they can also reach us on our website, veteransbraintrustonline.com, or they can email me at ronearmstead@gmail.com. Those are the three best ways to get in contact. Okay?
Thank you so much, Ron. I appreciate you for taking out your time, even though you're traveling.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you keeping calling me and asking me to do this, extending the invitation to me. Thank
well,
you so much.
You are so welcome. We got to let people know what's going on out here, Ron, but thank you, and you have a blessed one.
All right. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Ron Armstead. We're trying to make a stand for our black veterans, but coming up next will be Marnie Posh. We will be talking about the process of adoption. I'm sorry. Somehow I got tongue twisted there, tongue tied. But stay tuned for that, and we'll be back after this commercial break.
There's only one station that will keep you happy, Blog Talk Radio. We're taking more of your calls at 347-426-3751. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this commercial break.
Ever wonder what makes us, the Smurfs, so happy? The forest, of course. This is where we, along with the beautiful forest creatures, make our home with beautiful plant life, clean water, and endless adventures. It's a place to celebrate. So discover the forest with your family today. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Jesus, I need just a little more Jesus to help me along the way. give you praise. I lift my hands to you, my voice I raise. Because who you are, I am who I am. Peace and glory to the Lamb, oh my. You saved my soul from sin and turned my praise. Trust me in righteousness, none can compare. Show me the path of you, show me your plan. We sing glory to you, the Lamb. Oh, oh, oh.
Oh.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
there's an atmosphere of a prophetic voice that's speaking right now. When God shows up, he speaks. He moves. Why don't you lift up your hands right now? Somebody's going to leave encouraged tonight. That heavy burden is lifting right now. That thing you're facing is leaving right now. You're getting your victory right now. Come on, lift up your hands. Somebody who needs to be encouraged. Right now, your faith is returning to you. Your joy is coming back to you.
I'm thanking you so much for staying on with me. Coming up at 2 o'clock, I will have Monty Posh, who will be talking about the process for the walls. I think it might be hard, especially hot. I can't think of this first clip because I don't know how to talk. 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 And I want to thank Heather, and I want to thank you for the 88. Staying on with me. It's a blessing to be on my side today. Listen, I'm going to be able to deal with this little wife. All I'm going to let it go. I'm going to say, like to talk. Oh, yeah. Listen, good and bad. You can see whatever I wear. It's a blessing. All right. Today, I just want to more than share. Hey, brother. You can talk to me together. Let's go and let your thank you. Oh. Man, the guys, I have that TV on my Facebook page. Go to Facebook.com/ I wish the people. I'm coming out with a newsletter, and a box. You can fix to me 24/7. And while I'm in here, I will be on the page. I won't be on as much. I will be taking that off the page. It's my Facebook. It's the only thing I will be fixed out there. So you can fix to the hottest that's coming out. So go there and like it. Also, I'm doing the perfect. Oh, if you're interested in being in this country, please feel like the Facebook fan page. And when I put you in pain, be ready. Because I will be sending you a nice love each year. That's right. And hopefully this year will be coming to you. So please go do that on Facebook. The place I wish would meet you. If you just say tune right there and don't believe, I say do not believe at all.
You're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Mommy, they call me names, they wouldn't let me play. I'd run home, sit and cry almost every day. Hey Jessica, you look like an alien. With green skin, you don't fit in this Satan. Oh, they pull my hair, they took away my chair. I keep it in and pretend that I didn't care. Hey Jessica, you're so funny. You've got teeth just like the bunny. Oh, so you think you know me now. Have you forgotten how you would make me feel when you tread my spirit down? But thank you for the pain. It made me raise my game. And after all this, after all this, yeah.
To make it your go for broke, so you're smoking out alone. Are you laughing now? Are you laughing now? You raise the bar, can't be hard, say you're gonna be a star. Are you laughing now? Are you laughing now?
Some of the tunes, because I try to keep you motivated. But on the air with me is Marnie Posh. We will be talking about adoption process, and I know some of you who are out there probably struggling with that, but here she is to answer all those questions for you.